God.
Good morning. My name is Anna Gresham. I am one of the pastors here at Trilla Church. I pastor alongside of my wonderful husband, Pastor Joshua Gresham, sitting right up here on that front row. I love you. Hey, I'm excited to minister on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of my most favorite times to minister of the year, because it's an honor to get into the Word of God with you guys and to just love on Jesus together. And in preparing for today's message, I'm not much of a morning person. You know, I've got four kids and everyone's like, oh, I bet you're a morning person. No, I'm not. One time I prayed and I was like, God, I'd really like to be a morning person. And his response to me was, go to bed earlier. Yeah, that could work, you know. But I enjoy my evening hours when everyone's asleep and it's quiet and it's peaceful. And I can just lay there and I'll be talking to the Lord about all kinds of stuff. And a few weeks ago, I was meditating and just praying about this message. And I began to testify in my spirit just all that God has done in my life over this past year. Man, and I don't want to get emotional and have one of those moments this morning, but it was beautiful, this beautiful moment between me and Jesus, of him loving on me and me loving on him and testifying of his faithfulness. And you know, seasons are not always the same. Last year during Mother's Day, we were filming at the youth center. I had these green linen overalls on. They were super loose and light because I was covered in poison ivy. I'm sitting on that stool ministering that message on Hagar. It was an interesting message the Lord gave me last year for Mother's Day. And halfway through, I stopped. I looked at Jeremy and I was like, I gotta get up and move around. I was so itchy. It was beyond belief. I was on prednisone. I was hyperactive. It was an interesting time. Jeremy McKnight, I'm so thankful for him. He spliced that video. You all had no idea. And we just kept rolling. I'm so thankful to be here with you all during this season in our new church building, not covered in poison ivy, preaching to a camera at the youth center. Seasons change, and God does great things. You know, God, his grace and his mercy was with me in that season, the same that it is with me today. And it was during that season that the Lord set me free from a stronghold in my life. And that's what I'm going to minister on this morning. I'm going to minister on strongholds. Because so often we get stuck and we're thinking that this is how it's always going to be, and this is what this is always going to look like. And I'm here to tell you that that is not true. That God has a victory for your season. And he wants to set you free in Jesus' name. I want you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to be reading quite a few scriptures that, not quite a few. If you all know me, when I say quite a few, then it's quite a few. We're reading just a few scriptures this morning that these are scriptures that I say all the time. And it made me so happy when this message came together that I looked through and I thought, oh, I say all of these scriptures often. I got excited because this right here is life. I tell my kids before we go to church on Sunday, okay, hey, everyone get your Bible because you need to follow through. You got to participate. If you go to a soccer game, you wouldn't show up without your soccer cleats, your shin guards, or your shoes. You don't show up to church without your Bible. You come prepared for what you're getting ready to do. So I'm going to pass that on to you guys as well. Come prepared. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, then get your phone out and follow with me. I want you to get a hold of these scriptures because they are life to you. And when we get in, we're going to do a teaching on strongholds, so you can understand and have knowledge of what you've been up against, of why you're possibly feeling stuck in the same season over and over again, or for you to recognize these attacks of the enemy in your life and call them out for what they are. We got to wake up to this because the church cannot stay stagnant any longer. Your marriage, God did not create your marriage to stay stuck in a rut. God did not create you and give you this honor and this gift of being a parent for you to feel like a failure all the time. That's not victory. That's not knowing the greater one living inside of you. And this is how we often feel, that we're not good enough, we're not going to make it, we're continually arguing or in disagreements, not in a place of unity or being in one accord. And God wants to set us free from that today. Are you ready for that? Because I'm excited. I am excited for what God has for you today. So in Revelation chapter 12, we're going to read verses 10 through 11 here. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So we see that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Who are the brethren? That's us. He's talking about the church body. We're not talking about sinners here. We're talking that Satan brings up accusations against the body of Christ. I've heard it said, Satan has no problem getting you into heaven. He just wants to make you feel like hell while you're getting there. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to accuse you daily. And they are all lies. There is no truth found in Satan. He is the father and the author of lies. And so we find out today through the scripture that, man, I wonder why I've been thinking this way. I wonder why I feel this way. It's an accusation from the enemy to keep you trapped in a continuous just struggle or destructive cycle or destructive habits. And here you're a believer, you're a child of God, and you're like, man, I'm always up against this stuff. Well, yeah. What did Satan do whenever Jesus was in fasting and prayer for 40 days and 40 nights? He came and he brought accusations through temptation, trying to place him in a position of fear. And what did Jesus do? He spoke the word of God. He said, you want to know how to live? You're going to live by God's word. You want to know how to overcome the accusations of Satan in your life? You've got to begin to testify of Jesus Christ in your life. That word overcame in Revelation, and I love this in the Greek, it means to conquer. I conquer. I am victorious. I have victory to carry, or I carry the victory over this situation. How am I able to be a conqueror? How am I able to carry this victory? I begin to testify of who Jesus is in my life. Well, then you need to know who Jesus is in your life. This is a daily reminder of, that's right, I'm a child of God. Man, we were singing about it all this morning. Every one of those songs goes right along with this word. So if he's saying here that there's a victory point to become a conqueror, that implies a battle, right? It means you're going to have to be battle ready for what you're going through. The same reason we bring our Bibles to church, the same reasons that we get ready for whatever it is you're getting ready for, is the same way that you're going to have to get battle ready for the accusations of Satan. That you know how to come against these strongholds in your life. So let's see what a stronghold is. What is a stronghold? Well, the Greek word explains to us that it is a false argument in which a person seeks shelter. I'm going to say that again. It is a false argument. Remember how we talked about how Satan is the accuser of the brethren. There is no truth in him. In which a person seeks shelter. So Satan will come in and give you a lie. Will tell you this thing about yourself. And rather than overcoming him by the word of God and knowing who you are in Christ and speaking out God's word, you begin to find solace or seek shelter behind that lie, and that identifies, you identify with the wrong thing. And this is how a stronghold begins to form in our minds. In June of 2020, I had been battling a stronghold in my life for about a year, and it involved parenting, where from an accusation from Satan coming in my thought life of something so small, and I began to meditate on that wrong thing, and it turned into a deep-rooted fear. And I even knew in my heart, I thought, that is not true, it is not true, but I took shelter behind that accusation. It affected my parenting. I began to parent one of my children specifically from that place of fear. And I remember thinking to myself, I am parenting you on such a defensive place. Rather than being on the offense and being prepared and having a battle plan, I felt like I was continually on the defense. And it came out in arguments. We were not getting along. I was continually thinking the worst. Goodness, Satan is a liar. It felt like a weight on my shoulders. You guys, this went on for an entire year. And I know some of you, you've been battling strongholds much longer than that. June of 2020, right smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit man, and he said, you're going to fast this month. You know, it's beautiful what Pastor Josh's message last week. He didn't tell me to fast food for the month. He told me to fast something else specifically. And he said, by the end of the month, you will be set free from this stronghold. I remember reaching out to my mom, and I asked for her help. I said, I need some help in prayer for this right now. I have been battling this, and I had to get real raw and real honest with her, with God. And I said, I'm going to take this month, and I'm going to fast, and I want you to hook arms with me, because I know at the end of this month, I'll be set free. What took place over that month, on that point of surrender, of God giving me a battle plan, is the supernatural power of God that when you are willing to obey, and you know, I remember going to God thinking, God, this fast really should have been so much more difficult. Like, I was measuring it. And God said, you do what I told you to do. And at the end of that month, I remember this point of freedom. And you know, we often say, I don't even know how to explain it other than the sweet peace of God. Just flowing over me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. During that month, as those thoughts would try to come in, I would take captive every thought. And I would submit it to God. And I would remind myself, Satan, you are the accuser of the brethren. I have trained my children in the way they should go. I am continuing to train them. When they are old, they will not depart from it. I have prayed and I am continuing to pray. This is who God says they are. That is a lie from the enemy. And you know what's beautiful about that month, that season that I was in, was as you get your mind focused in and you get ready and you're in the battle, whenever things would arise, rather than getting and cowering behind that stronghold in a place of fear, the spirit of faith would rise up. I remember we were in a store one time, and one of my children said something that would have been a trigger to that stronghold. And the spirit of faith rose up right on the inside of me, and the Lord said, you take authority over that rebellious spirit right now in Jesus' name. Now, did I just say that out loud and lay hands on him in the middle of the store? No. I didn't. But right in my spirit, I just said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that rebellious spirit. You are a child of God, and the only voice that you hear is the Spirit of God. It turned around immediately. I wanted to be like, because it's the power of God at work. We're over here trying to do it ourselves. Of what can I do? What can I do? Well, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. What you can do is surrender to the Lord, get into the Word of God, and get battle ready, and call these accusations what they are. They are lies sent to destroy you, to discourage you, to distract you from your true purpose and calling. As a wife, as a mother, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a servant of Christ. And so that takes us right into 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. I refuse to take shelter behind a wall constructed from the enemy. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we see another battle term here, right? We recognize that there is an attack. Let's wake up this morning and realize there is an attack. Satan does not want to see you succeed. What are two institutions that God has set into place? He has set the church into place, and he has set marriage and the family unit into place. What is continually attacked? The church and marriage and family. We've got to determine that we're going to have a strong church in Christ and that we're going to have a strong marriage and strong families in Christ. You set the atmosphere of your home. You determine that. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. That means when we get carnal, we're not doing the right battle. Let's let that sink in real quick. But mighty in who? In God. Mighty in who? Let's say it again. Let's try it together. Mighty in who?
God.
Oh my goodness. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments and what? Every high thing. One or two high things, and I'll let this in. No. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? That's right. And being ready, are we ready? To punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we understand that there is an attack. But we are able, not through our carnal flesh, but through the power that we have through Jesus Christ, to take every thought captivity that would try to exalt itself above the name of Jesus, where you find yourself in that stronghold. What are strongholds that we battle? Let's say that you're single, wanting to get married, or you're engaged, and you find yourself continually falling back into sin through your intimacy. And here you've given your heart to the Lord, but Satan continually comes in and he says, you know what, it's okay because you found your identity through that. It's become comfortable. You know, that's a stronghold that God wants to set you free from this morning, for you to live in a position of holiness and to be fruitful and to honor God's covenant with your body, with your emotions, with your mind. Strongholds can be you're judgmental. You find yourself continually judging people. It's become a safe place to hide behind rather than to allow God to tear it down so that you can press forward and love people in the love of Jesus. You find that worry has become a stronghold. Woo, buddy, you're worrying about everything. Well, you know this is going to happen. You know that's going to happen. Is it? No. What if it does? You're going to just fall to pieces, or you're going to make a choice to trust in God? I often ask myself that. Well, what if it did happen? Well, if it did happen, then I pray the spirit of faith rises up and I take authority over it in Jesus' name. You see, there's a battle plan for whatever stronghold that you are dealing with today. Are you dealing with a stronghold? Is there something that Satan has continually been accusing and trying to wreck your life with? You see, God has freedom, and freedom is always available. I love that we sang about freedom this morning. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, go ahead and turn there. These are scriptures that we hold on to, we hold fast to. So that whenever these accusations arise, and I think that's why when I went through this message and I thought, Lord, every one of these scriptures are scriptures that I go back to all the time. John 8, 31 through 36, it says, and then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. In knowing that you are battle ready, that when these accusations come or you find yourself believing a false argument and you've begun to take shelter in a lie, you allow this word to say, no, the son, Jesus Christ has made me free. I am free from sin and death. I am free from the lies of the enemy. I no longer identify with that old person. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I abide in him. And then Stephen read my next scripture, set of scripture out of Romans chapter 8 this morning. From your position of sonship, let's go there. If you haven't read Romans chapter 8 multiple times in your life, I encourage you to do it this week. Starting in verse 12 through 17, we're going to read it again because I want it to plant deep inside of your heart this morning. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led, so first we're seeing that we abide in our position of sonship, and then now we are choosing to be led by the Spirit of God, we will know that we are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You did not receive that spirit of bondage to stay in that stronghold. That is not what you received when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you received the spirit of adoption in whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That we are choosing to seek shelter, to abide in him. We are choosing to be led by the Spirit of God. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. But your spirit man is the real you. When you receive from heaven, you receive in your spirit man. This is why 2 Corinthians is so valuable, because he says every thought, everything that you put in here will then go down into your heart and it'll come out of your mouth. You have a choice. You have been set free. Now you've got to choose to be led by the Spirit of God. Take those thoughts captive, not on your own, but in the mighty name of Jesus, in the power of God. For God to pull those strongholds down supernaturally, his freedom at work in your life. Battle ready. God has freedom for you today. God also has help for you today. I think of being able to call my mom during that time. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 20. You know, whenever we go through things, Satan immediately wants to isolate us and make us feel alone. He'll say, you're the only one dealing with this. More accusations. You're all by yourself. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to be there for you. You've been hurt. Maybe somebody wasn't there for you, and that turned to a stronghold. That still doesn't mean that God doesn't have someone for you today. In Psalm chapter 20, this has been a banner set of scriptures for me this year. If you've asked me for a scripture at all for anything you're going through, I've probably given you Psalm 20. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. Hey, where are we sitting right now? That means all of y'all are helpers for someone else in this sanctuary. We are in the body of Christ together. We are unified together. When you have a brother or sister in the Lord that is battling a stronghold, maybe it's a stronghold of addiction, maybe it's a stronghold in their marriage, we are the helpers that God sends in their day of trouble and need. I praise God for my mama that loves Jesus. And she came right in and she said, Anna, right now you are in the negative and everything that you see is negative. You're in the defense. You need to allow God to paint a new picture for you to see what he's doing and what he has done. It says, and strengthen you out of Zion. Maybe, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And that takes me to James chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. So first, we understand that in this battle, God has freedom through Christ Jesus. In this battle, you're not alone. God has help for you today. In James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps or your offenses. You see, we often look at this scripture in a negative. You immediately get on the defense and you're like, oh man, I'm just a loser. Let me go tell everybody my sin. That's not what this scripture is about. This scripture is a battle-ready scripture. Well, you'll see. Let's keep reading. And then he said, and pray for one another, not gossip to one another, not condemn one another, not go tell everybody what somebody just told you to pray for one another. To be sincere in your heartfelt prayer for one another, to actually care for the body of Christ as help from the sanctuary because you want to see people set free, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt. At some point, church, the church needs to get heartfelt for people to be free from chains and bondage, things that have been holding them back from their purpose, their God-given purpose. The heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or a believer. Remember, you are right standing in God through Christ Jesus. This is you. We're talking about you this morning. Can accomplish much. When what? When put into action. And it's made effective by who? By God. It has dynamic and can have tremendous power. What is our part to this? Is we reach out for help from the sanctuary. You go to a brother or sister in the Lord. If you are struggling with, let's go ahead and since we're going down that road and it's Mother's Day, if you are struggling with staying pure before marriage, then you go to a sister or a brother in the Lord and have accountability with someone who can help you. So it's no longer a stronghold in your life. If you are struggling with continually feeling like a failure, you hook arms with someone that's going to build you up, that's going to pray for you, that's going to speak life into you, that's going to come alongside you as an encourager. This is what the body of Christ looks like. This is what God has called us to do with our marriage, with our children, as we serve in our workplace. You are not in this battle alone. God has help from the sanctuary. And then God has a rhema word for you today. Ooh, and I love this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is one of my favorite women in the Bible. I would love to meet her. Someday I will. And it's really cool when you start studying out God's word and he begins to connect words for you. The word rhema in the Greek means to speak. It's a spoken word made by the living voice. Let's say it again. Let's let it soak in this morning. The word rhema means to speak. It is a spoken word made by the living voice. It is used in the New Testament for the Lord speaking his dynamic, living word in a believer to birth faith. Romans 10:17, so faith proceeds from spiritual hearing, Moreover, this hearing is consummated through a rhema word from Christ. It is a rhema word, a spoken word from Christ Jesus, to birth faith on the inside of you, for you to live by faith. Not by sight, not by emotions, not by all the chaos and confusion that's going on around you, right? Remember, we're in a battle. This stuff is real. But a spoken word from Christ. We see Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 37 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Luke chapter 2, verses 50 and 51. That word rhema in the Greek is used in each one of these scriptures as a spoken word from God to Mary during a season whenever she was going to need a word from heaven to accomplish all that God had called her to do. So in this battle, in your point of freedom, and God sending you help, God also has a spoken word, a word from Christ Jesus that you can continually go back to stay free, to live by faith and not by sight, to be in that place of victory. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary, he said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." That word "nothing" in the Greek is a rhema word. That's a spoken word from heaven. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Hold on to that right here. In Luke 1:38, then Mary said in response, it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That word, "according to your word," is a rhema word. That Mary, who is getting ready to go through one of the hardest things that you could ever imagine, an angel from the Lord says, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary says, "Be it unto me according to your word," according to what that spoken word you just gave me, God, that you can do the impossible. Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, when the shepherds came, here are outside opinions. Here it's really real, okay? It's getting real now. Says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word "things" there is the same word, rhema, a spoken word from heaven. Mary kept that encouragement. In every season, she went back, "God, nothing will be impossible with you." Then in Luke chapter 2, verses 50 through 51, this is whenever Jesus decided to stay back and they went on their way. And they were gone a couple of days out, and they're like, "Hey, where's Jesus? We thought he was with some family friends." Have y'all ever had that happen to you with one of your kids? One day I was in the house, and I was cleaning and doing stuff, and Colton was 5, Carly was 3, and they were playing hide-and-go-seek inside the house, and I was like, "Oh, this is great." Cohen decided to go see a friend down the street. Well, little did I know, Carly and Colton decided to follow Cohen down the street without telling me. So I'm looking through and I'm like, "Man, they are really hiding in this house." I'm 15 minutes in. I'm to panic mode, okay? Call Josh up, getting ready to lose my mind. I am running down the street screaming. We're at 30 minutes now, okay? I started driving around. I can't find them anywhere. All of a sudden in the distance, I see this little trio. 3-year-old Carly, 5-year-old Colt, 7-year-old Cohen. Cademan, I don't even know what Cade is. He's just probably, he was sitting in his robe at home drinking some coffee. I don't know. It's what he does. Our oldest is wise beyond his years. Here come these three. And I remember getting them in the house. I set them on the couch and I said, "Don't say a word." I sat against the wall and put my feet in front of me and I said, "I'm just going to sit here and breathe for a minute. Let me just breathe." I could only imagine Mary in this moment thinking she lost the Son of God. Of all that's been given to her. And she goes back and Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going about my Father's business." Could you imagine knowing what's been put on her, what's in her? You know, she was filled with the Holy Spirit for a reason. She needed the Holy Ghost to do all that God had called her to do. In Luke chapter 2, verse 50 through 51, it says, But they did not understand the statement. That word statement is that same rhema word which he spoke to them. Meaning, Mom, I've got a plan that God's put into my heart and I've got to do it. And then he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. That word things is that same rhema spoken word. Meaning, God, I go back to the word that you gave me. I go back to the spoken word of heaven that you have set me free. I want you to say this with me this morning. Say, thank you, Jesus, that I am free. Say, thank you, Jesus, for sending help from the sanctuary. And thank you, Jesus, for a rhema word. Now, when you get home, you can say that more enthusiastically. Thank you, Jesus, that I am free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have help. And God, that you have a rhema word for me today. I'm so thankful that God set me free from that stronghold in parenting, from that position of fear. When he set me free, he set me free. It was a complete turnaround. That following month, I had been praying that God, he had told me to pray out some things for our kids to have. You know, we're pastors and they're always with us and we're always pouring things into them, but I want them to hear from other ministers and other people to draw from. And I said, God, I want you to set us up some places that they can draw from other people other than us. And he says, where I tell you to go, you will grow. And he told us to go to a specific conference in Logan, West Virginia. And it was during that conference, and it was just that following month, I remember coming in, and I had so many expectations for my family. I really didn't have any for myself other than just believing God for them. I was just happy to be there and out of the house, really. God blessed my boys. Carly won a TV in their children's church. And before they left, I had a friend, they said, they're giving away a TV one night as a big prize. And Carly said, I'm going to win that TV. And of course, her three older brothers, they said, no, you're not. She goes, yes, I am. When I went to pick her up, they had it hidden to the side and she was standing there. She was dancing. And I was like, she must have won something. That's what I was thinking. She won that TV. The minister ministering operates in a word of knowledge and just flows through the gifts of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills, but he's willing. And that first night, called Joshua and I out and just had a word, a rhema word from heaven for us. Things that only God could know. You've heard Josh say where he would begin to minister from the mountains to the sea, from the mountains to the sea. He began to prophesy things into this church. Well, what many people didn't know was the last couple of months before that, I had been having some sharp pains in my abdomen, my lower abdomen. And God had healed me from endometriosis at a young age. And it was that same type of pain. I'd gone in and had lots of tests, and I couldn't find anything, which typically means it's scar tissue because it's hard to find unless you go in and have surgery. I'd had surgery before. And I'd begin to speak the word of, God, I thank you. You've already healed me from this. I was speaking God's word out, holding on. At the end of Reverend Shuttlesworth, when he was praying for us, he looked at Josh. He goes, now I want you to put your hand on your wife's womb. And he said, be corrected and be made whole in Jesus' name. And then he laid his hands on me. Man, the power of God just flattened me out. God healed me, took every pain. It was that place of abundance. And I remember laying there just saying, God, I thank you that I am free. You know, it's from, and I believe it was from that point of freedom through the month of June, having a battle plan and putting my trust in God, that he just did exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to his power at work in me. And if God did it for me, he will do it for you. Close our eyes.